It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number, wait for it, 333, entitled Despite the Technical Gremlins, There Were No Technical Gremlins. It was recorded on Monday, the 5th of May, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I shall be joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Wendy, whose surname I can never pronounce, but she does during the episode. I'm also joined by Dave Gray and by John Overall. It's a WordPress podcast, so guess what? We're going to talk about WordPress. We talk about the fact that canonical plugins have been raised as a possible avenue for doing all of the work around accessibility in WordPress. It got quite a lot of commentary in our live show. People seem to think that it was a good idea, maybe it was a bad idea, but this seems to be an idea which is gaining traction, maybe some other things happening around canonical plugins as well. WordPress 6.8.1 has dropped. Have you already installed it? The free tickets that you can get for the Page Builder Summit will be useful for you next week, because beginning Monday the 12th of May, for a whole week, we have over 35 speakers lined up for you. PageBuilderSummit.com to find out more. Do you fancy speaking at WPLDN? We provide an opportunity for you to do that. And then we spend a lot of time talking about failure in terms of marketing to get your product in the WordPress space launched successfully. How do you keep the momentum going? What ideas are shared by our audience members to help you in that endeavor? And we talk about MailerPress, a new offering from the people at SEOPress to send emails from the block editor, and a whole load of other things as well, especially around chatbots and AI and how much we really, really don't like them. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello, hello. We are back. It is This Week in WordPress. It's episode number 3. I think it's 333.
It is. The magic number. It's the magic number, man. 333. It's a magic number.
It's half of 666, which sounds quite sinister. However, if you are an avid follower of this show, you'll notice that it's completely different. For a start, we didn't have our introduction music, which we normally do. And secondly, the whole show looks different. That is because the regular platform that we use has utterly collapsed. Logged on this morning, completely broken, like totally dead. And so that's a bit of a shame. So I've had to cobble together this other solution. So it all looks a bit different. I'm not sure what I have to click to make anything work. But hopefully we're going to be able to model through. If we have any technical gremlins or anything like that, I would urge you to sort of stay with us. The video looks like it hasn't embedded on the WordPress website. So if you go to wpbuilds.com/live, it looks like something got balked there. Not entirely sure what happened, but it looks like something kind of basically went wrong. So hopefully you found it on the YouTube channel. Anyway, here we are. I am joined, as always, by several guests. As you can see, we've got John Overall over there. We've got Wendy, whose name I can never get right, so I shall get her to do her name in a minute. And we've got Dave. Dave gets special special mention this week because he got an email from me about, I don't know, 12 hours ago or something like that, saying, help, because who should have been coming on the show? Remke should have been coming on the show. He's got a bit of a crisis going on. And so Dave has stepped in at the 11th hour. So I'm very appreciative of all of that. Let's go around the houses introducing everybody. Let's start with John. John founded the WordPress Plugins A to Z podcast and over time bought on two different co-hosts to grow the show. This podcast is still going strong after 16 years and focuses on the usage of plugins to enhance the functionality of WordPress websites and help others with learning about a variety of website and tech news and information. And if you're looking at the screen, you'll be able to see where to go for that. It's WP Plugins A to, and I'm going to say Z because you being Canadian, you say that too, right?
I do. Canadians use the Z. The rest of the world uses Z.
Yeah, well, no, we don't.
Brits.
Us as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Joining also is Wendy. Can I say your first name and then you just immediately after I say it, can you say your surname or the other bits of your name? So joining me today is Wendy and she's on mute. Let's try it.
Missed my amazing pronunciation of
We did. Technical gremlins, you see. Right, here we go. And we're joined by Wendy.
How's in it felt?
There you go. Exactly that. And Wendy she was with us a few weeks ago. She's been on several times before. Wendy and I actually have a long and storied past. Years and years ago, both Wendy and I joined this thing called WP Elevation, which was run, I don't know. What do you reckon, Wendy? Was that like a decade ago that we joined that, something?
Yeah, I think it was.
Something like that.
Pisha recently, when it was, I think it was 2014.
Yeah. Well, Wendy and I were accountability partners. And that's when I got to know you. But more recently, we've been attending events and sort of hanging out, which has been really nice. But I'll read the bio. It says, hey, have you met Wendy? She's a dynamic force in the WordPress community. Started as a volunteer at the first WordCamp Europe in Leiden in 2013. And she's evolved to being one of the lead organizers of the event in 2024 and is currently co-leading the communications team for the 2025 edition. Professionally, Wendy spends her time working at one.com, O-N-E.com, as a WordPress product marketing expert. Beyond WordPress endeavors, Wendy is deeply committed to fostering connections through, now I'm going to say the Love Doctor because I can't pronounce that word, a learning collective focused on interpersonal relationships since 2016 as head nurse. Oh. She has been instrumental in organizing workshops and events that help individuals and organizations enhance their relational skills. You must be really hotting up for the oncoming WordCamp Europe because it's what are we now, like 4 weeks away, something like that?
Yeah, I am.
Very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
It is super exciting. And so much nice stuff going on and we have a great lineup. Yeah, really excited. And still tickets available.
There are still tickets available. And if you actually drop a, you know when on a Google map you can drop the human and you go into Street View, you can drop the little character. I had a little poke around Basel and never having been there before, I didn't really have any notion of what to expect. It looks magnificent as a city. I'm really quite surprised how impressive it all looks.
Yeah, it's so cool. We were there in March to check out the venue and the river is in the middle of the city. And there are so many places where you can sit and hang and have a beer. And it has really old buildings. Oh, there's a dog barking outside.
It's okay. It's okay. We can cope. We can cope with the dogs. But anyway, yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. And I will be seeing you in a few short weeks' time. That'll be fun. Yeah. Okay. And the last person joining us, as I said, stepping in at the 11th hour. So thank you very much, is Dave Gray. Dave started ourwpplugins.com back in early 2023 and is the man behind Administrator Toolkit, the number one plugin for site maintainers as voted for by himself, he says. No, I'll go with that too. Yeah. There's two people now. His toolkit aims to reduce client-related headaches by preventing them from breaking things or poking around a production site when they aren't meant to. After 20 years in corporate life, Dave is soon to make a break for freedom and is off to his first WordCamp Europe. So feel free to say, oh, Oh, I didn't wait there. Yeah, that's so great. Oh, that's lovely. Three out of the four of us will be there soon. I've sent out a tweet this week because I'm going to be hanging out with Mark Westgaard, who does WS1. We're going to go driving for a couple of days before the event. And he sent me an AI picture. Don't know if you saw it, but yeah. It was an AI picture of me and Mark in a car, and somehow cheese and like cows and sausages and all that ended up in the air. And I thought it was hysterical, so I tweeted it. And then Jamie Maslin caught sight of it. And I didn't know you could even do this. He plugged it into an AI. I think he said it was CapCut and something else. And he made a video with that as the first frame.
What? So why are we not having this video?
Well, it's a bit self-indulgent, I guess. I don't know. But it's so amazing. It, you know, literally there's a random image. That's the first frame. Now carry on. And I don't know how much prompting you needed to do, but there was a road in the background. There was a car, and it figured out that the car needed to, you know, drive down the road, and the road would recede in the background. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, okay, if you want to see it, I'll see if I can find it later.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so apologies to anybody that's watching this, because I don't really know how this platform works. So excuse me for the weird way in which I handle comments and things like that. First of all, Influence WP, so that'd be Ryan. Ryan saying hello from a sunny and pleasant 73 degrees Fahrenheit here in Charlotte, US. Well, hello too. And then we've got Nomad Skateboard saying, I don't know what that emoji is. It's like
looks like a zombie.
Okay, zombie. All right. Okay, I don't know why, but I appreciate it. Hello there, beautiful people, says Marcus Burnett. I'm sorry, Wendy. Dave, this platform just completely destroys your faces. The other one moves people up, but this one doesn't. Hey there, beautiful people. Happy Monday from an already uncomfortably warm Florida. Oh, dear me. Daveden says he is driving with driving with everything flying in the air. Yeah, it was. That was the video, I guess, you're referring to. Who's this one? Big, it says it was a funny picture. Okay, I'm going to have to find it now, aren't I? Let me see.
Now that I'm on the communications team of the WordCamp Europe team, I retweeted it because I thought it was so funny. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that you? I saw somebody from WordCamp Europe had retweeted it. So, yeah, thank you for that. Good morning from Seattle, says Cami. Very nice to have you with us. Oh, it's a gremlin. Yeah, I said in a tweet for this probably there would be gremlins because of the new platform. Got it. Thank you very much. Big, it's joining us from Munich where it's 7 degrees. Yeah, that's about what we got here. Tammy Lister joining us. Happy Monday. Sun is shining here. And yeah, there definitely are technical gremlins because most of the comments I can see two or three times. So this platform comes with bugs built in. Fabulous.
Yeah, it saves time.
We'll see how we do. So I'm going to raise up the bits and pieces that we're going to talk about today. That is the intention. We are a WordPress podcast. Look at that. We all go to the wrong side for a start. I tried to upload a logo and a little pre-app. No, it wasn't having any of it. So whether or not we get to the end of this is anybody's guess. This is us, wpbuilds.com. We are happily sponsored, keeping the lights on over here. We've got GoDaddy Pro, we've got Bluehost, and we've got OmniSend. If you happen to run into any of those companies, firstly, back away a little bit. It'll probably hurt. But secondly, say hi and say you found them through WP Builds. So thank you to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend. If you want to keep in touch with what we're doing, stick your email address into this form, click subscribe, and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. One will be tomorrow when this episode gets repurposed as a podcast, audio, and so on, and then one on Thursday. And actually, Birgit, who's in the comments, it's you. Is going to be on the podcast on Thursday. I was joined to talk about all sorts of things that have been happening in the recent past in WordPress. So it'll be me, Birgit, and I want to summon up the person's name, and it is totally gone out of my head, and now I feel dreadful. There's a third guest, and I cannot remember their name off the top of my head. This is what we did in the recent past. This product seems to be getting a bit of attention. I don't know if you've come across this. You come across WP Sync Sheets? So I talked to this fabulous chap, and he was talking about this product that he's built. And essentially, it will allow you to get a Google Sheet put your data into the Google Sheet, map it to any point on your website. So let's say, for example, it's a WooCommerce store. You can have your products, your images, all of it in a Google Sheet. And when your website loads up, it will populate everything for you. And it kind of sounds like a bit weird. Why would you want to do that? And the point of it is, well, if you've got clients that just don't want to deal with the interface of WordPress and logging in, but they're really familiar with spreadsheets. So it's definitely worth checking out WP Sync Sheets. And I saw that Ryan, who's in the comments, he's had a bit of a, he created a bit of a partnership, I think, since we released that episode. And now I feel better. It's Fabian Kagi. He was the person that joined us on the podcast. I am so sorry, Birgit. Do forgive me. It is my addled 50-year-old brain. So that is our archive. You can find it just here, wpbuilds.com/podcast-archive. And his name was Arpit. And this was the piece in question. Definitely worth checking out. Okay, a couple of bits more. If you are in the London area and you fancy coming to the WPLDN WordPress meetup, it's a meetup for WordPress people in the London area, and you would like to speak there, can I encourage you to get on the bandwagon quickly? Go to wpldn.uk/speak. We would love to have you. We've got quite a few slots open for the rest of the year. We do it at the end of the month on Thursday, last Thursday of the month, and we're looking for some speakers. wpldn.uk/speak. And the very last one from me is this little chap. This has been a lot of time in the making. Page Builder Summit. It is starting next week, and we're getting ready. I've chopped up all the audio and the video, and we're creating the closed captions and getting the transcripts made and all of that. We're in that sort of final little bit where it's all going to sort of get tied up, but it's starting next week. And if you want to join us, there are about 35 or so presentations plus a load of live networking sessions. If you stick your email address into this little sometimes on this computer when I'm running live streaming software, I get that weird glitch where I click that button and it collapses to nothing, but it's only when I'm running a live thing. If you put your name and email into here, we will keep you updated. And you'll be able to see a list of the great and the good who are speaking there over the next week. So look, all these people coming to join us, having a nice time. Right, there you go. That's me, Don. Let's move on. Let's talk about other stuff. All right. Canonical plugins. Don't know if you know what these are. The idea mooted a little while ago was that wouldn't it be nice if a bunch of stuff that could be in WordPress but isn't quite coreable, if you know what I mean, it doesn't quite meet the threshold to be into core, it'd be a good idea to set up a bunch of what are called canonical plugins, which have the same status in terms of updatedness and security checks and all of that as core, but you would decide whether you want them or not. And Ray in the repository this week is writing a story about the idea of putting canonical plugins around accessibility. So in other words, not focusing on accessibility in core, but doing it as canonical plugins. And this came from Matt Mullenweg, and the story goes like this. WordPress co-founder Matt Mullenweg has suggested that accessibility improvements could be developed as a canonical plugin to help contributors respond more quickly to the needs of users who rely on assistive technologies, and I'm going to quote, this is Mullenweg speaking now, I have always been deeply committed to accessibility as a core component of WordPress products, he said. The idea of a canonical accessibility plugin isn't about diminishing our commitment to accessibility at the core, but rather enhancing it. Such a plugin could allow us to deliver specialized accessibility improvements and features faster than the core release cycle permits. Now, as you may imagine, some of the people who are really into accessibility as their thing, they're not entirely convinced that this is the best way to go. It's kind of just, why not? If it's an accessibility thing, why don't we just put it into core? Because that's where it belongs. So I'm going to throw it over to you three and ask you,
When you think about it, it should be in the as a plugin, because the core releases, even the point releases, don't come out fast enough when things need to change. And if it's a plugin, they can make the changes in the plugin that'll impact the core a whole lot faster. And that way, it's like, oh, we got this new piece that needs to be in accessibility. Well, we don't have time to release a whole new version of WordPress in the core to get it in there. Just put it in the plugin, update the plugin. So, and it mentioned there that it is at the high priority of updating in the plugin or in the core as far as issues go with it. This would make it so that accessibility is more accessible and faster to it.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting idea. I think it was being raised as an idea. I don't think anybody's saying this is what is going to happen, but no. Dave?
Well, I can see that, yeah. But it's just that I see it as more responsive to it.
Mm-hmm. But it's on the flip side from echoing Amber's sort of comments that if stuffs are in plugins, that makes it sound like it's optional and you don't need it.
Oh, because
if it's in core, it shows it's got the priority and it should be there. So if you kind of had like SEO plugin, you can run a site without it. But accessibility, if you've got some bits in core and some bits in a plugin you can update more often, then are you trying to fix things in that bit versus the other ways through? So that's kind of partly the kind of how important it is versus the release schedule for it. So I can see kind of John's point is easy to push things out more frequently, but it's also you'd need to know about it, and it kind of just feels like it's a secondary thing because it's not as it should be. Windows not having Notepad in there is like, how do you do stuff? Well, you just download it, but like, we need it. It should be there.
One of the things that I read, and I can't remember who it was, it may have been Joe Dalton, but forgive me, Joe, if I'm putting words into your mouth. Somebody was saying that this stuff, it's not even going to be an option for, certainly for Europeans in literally like, what is it, 6 weeks' time or something like that. The European Accessibility Act basically compels you to do some of this work. Obviously, it's difficult to determine whether you are entirely accessible. It feels like more of a goal, sort of more of a journey, not a destination, if you know what I mean. But if it's not in core and you miss it, you may well kind of regret when the ambulance chasing lawyer comes around and says, what are you doing? Wendy, anything? There's a few comments, but Wendy, go for it.
Yeah, I think I am with Amber, Amber Hind on this. She mentions in the article, that it basically creates double work. I mean, every site should be accessible, so it should not be an option. It should be the starting point. So putting it in a plugin, even canonical, would, first of all, it would create more work. And second of all, like Dave said, it would create the option to not have it. And we don't want that.
It'd be interesting because this whole canonical plugin thing, it's been talked about for, I don't know, 18 months or so now, and I don't see them in the wild yet. Maybe there's some sort of place where you can get them and what have you already, but I don't know that there is. But I just don't know how they'll be surfaced inside of, for example, if you go to the WordPress.org plugin repository, will they get like special treatment?
Yeah, you know? When you install a new WordPress install, will it be like, hey, we as WordPress recommend these plugins?
Interesting.
I don't know. But I do think that with accessibility in many ways, it makes it better for everybody. So why have it as an add-on and not as the standard?
So I guess the argument would go something along the lines of you can be more versatile, a bit like John was saying, you can be more versatile if you put it into a plugin because you can, you know, you don't have to worry about when the next release of WordPress is coming about. If something can happen more quickly, that's good. And then the other side, which we've heard from Dave and Wendy, is more along the lines of, well, it's going to be a new requirement. Why not just put it in core? Because it might be difficult for people to find these things. Let's have a look what the comments say.
Mark, things to say about this as well.
Okay, nice. Okay, thank you. So, sorry, I do apologize, Dave and Wendy. I have no idea how to make it so that your face is not destroyed by the comments, but that's just the way this platform works. Tammy Lister says, one thing to note on this is that design and other focus areas have had... She's disappearing. Wendy's no longer accessible. Have you seen that? She's literally become inaccessible. The other areas have had plugins for feature focus for a while. It's a balance. And I think we need to remember that. It's not about focusing on it in core. And nothing is simple. This is still Tammy. Nothing is simple, but also for a double one, so ally things have variable needs. Again, it's about us having the conversation and exploring to make it all accessible as a baseline. Cameron Jones chips in. Hello, Cameron, joining us probably from the other side of the planet in Australia. I don't think it's a bad idea as such. It'll definitely help get things moving faster, especially with one major release per year. Okay, so that's the wrinkle, isn't it? That's the bit which makes this all the more plausible, maybe, because if we've just got this one, I know there's going to be minor releases and what have you, but the critics all make very valid arguments. That hasn't been the case for design, though, as having it for design features that allowed us to explore and then fully bake to bring it in.
I like that.
Yeah,
I
you like that?
Using the plugin or plugin construction to experiment, see what works, and then if you have something solid, move it to core.
Yeah, okay. Okay, interesting. So Canonical then being like a testing, it's like a testing ground.
I actually... might be a language thing. I don't know what canonical means.
Canonical is like the authoritative source of something. It's like the original, the immutable perfect copy of something, the first, if you know what I mean.
That will contradict the experimenting and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, it does in that sense. Yeah, it does. Okay, let's move on. So we've got Daveden, not moving on, just carrying on with the comments. I feel accessibility updates is about removing barriers and fixing problems in core. So putting a plugin first sounds a bit weird. Birgit, it works well with the performance team. So it being Canonical plugins, the idea of putting things in a plugin with performance, okay, it works well with the performance team. They push things into a plugin, and then when it's further explored and tested, it makes it into core. Okay. And then Tammy chimes in and says, indeed, it's worked well with all the teams. Where are we now? Tammy carrying on. Lots of comments today. This one's got you going, hasn't it? I think the conversation needs to be made around it. Is it canonical experiments or is it other? Again, it's critical to explore. It's not just about having an add-on. So Canonical does have a certain status. If something is considered to be a canonical plugin, it gets that security update. And it gets the it's inspected in the same way as if it was core. Basically, it's treated by the teams as a piece of core, but just separated from core. So it gets all of those checks and balances. And wow, what a lot. I don't know what I think on it, but I can definitely see conversations happening on both sides. And it seems to be that, we'll wait and see. But it's been mooted by none other than Matt, so we'll see where that goes. All right, should we move on? Do you reckon that one's done? Am I getting any nods? Yeah, okay, yep. Great.
Oh, yeah.
All right, in which case, let us go to here. This really, there's nothing to say here except just, you know, if you're running WordPress websites for clients, you should have moved over to the latest version, 6.8.1, which just goes to show there are minor releases happening.
It does seem to be stable.
Yeah.
I've upgraded it on a few of my client sites,
yep.
So...
Yep. I've kind of given up. When I started in the WordPress space, I did this whole thing of waiting like for 3 or 4 days and letting everybody else experiment. And then I just gave up on
yes. I still do because the experiences I've had over the last 18 years of WordPress is you'll go for a very long time with a perfect release. And then all of a sudden, you'll get one that your particular configurations will just cause it. So I just wait.
Yep.
And that was a good thing on this one because there was a whole lot of error codes that were thrown out. They weren't errors, they were warnings. But if you had the debug turned on in your site, which some people do and don't realize, all of a sudden errors are appearing on your site, or you think they're errors. So
the it's kind of interesting. The thing that I've got nowadays is with the hosting companies that I use, like, you know, you click a button and get a staging site, you wait for like 40 seconds.
Yeah,
and you got a perfect replica of the site. When I began with WordPress, none of that stuff was really as easy as clicking a button. You know?
No, it was very hard back in the early days. Now it's easier.
Yeah,
even my offerings have that: click a button, get a staging site.
Yeah, I did an interview with Andy Fragan quite a while ago now, probably about 18 months or something, where he was talking about the plugin rollback feature, which is now in WordPress. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, if anything does go wrong, specifically around a plugin. Mm-hmm. Then it will roll back, and obviously we've got core updating itself, and you've got the option to update. So all of these lovely little interesting initiatives certainly do help. Anyway, you should be on WordPress 6.8.1 by now. That's really all there is to say about that. Okay. Next piece then is, and I have never done this before, and so just let me have a moment, if you don't mind. A friend of mine who I've interviewed on the podcast, really nice chap, he's called Leo Gopal. He reached out to me the other day with a fairly heartfelt plea, and it really tugged at my heartstrings. He's a WordPresser, been in the community for many, many years. He's done an awful lot of good in the community. And if you've ever listened to him speaking on any podcast or you met him in person, you will know that Leo is a thoroughly nice person. Like, you know, when you know somebody's just really, really deep down a nice person, that's Leo. And he reached out to say that his mother, sadly, is very unwell. And I won't go into all of that, but basically she's unwell in a way that requires some fairly experimental treatment in order to make her well again. And experimental treatment in the part of the world where Leo lives is fairly expensive. And so he said, is there any chance that you could smuggle into your podcast episode a plea on my behalf? And I said, sure. So this is it. If you have any, you know, if there's any money in your bank account, which is doing nothing, and you feel like being a good citizen in the WordPress space, then Leo's got a website where you can go, maybe give, I'm not sure, give WP, something like that. But it's called Gopals, G-O-P-A-L-S dot mom. I didn't know that was a domain. Dot mom, M-O-N. And I don't need to tell you what it's all about. You can go and find out for yourself if you have an intuition that this is something that you would like to help Leo out with and get from. He's currently managed to raise $1,000 of the $8,000 that were needed. And I can tell you that the figure is a lot higher than that as well. Then go and check it out. Gopals, G-O-P-A-L-S dot mom. Mom. We say mom over here. M-O-M. So... I'm not going to ask anybody else to contribute to that, but anyway, there we go. So Leo, best of luck with that campaign. I hope that it brings you everything that you want. Okay. Dave, I know you've launched products in the past. I have never launched products in the past, but I am going to be launching a product in the near future. And I've actually spoken with Alex, who is the founder of Siren Affiliates, quite a lot. And I'm guessing that this story is quite a thing which gets repeated in the WordPress space. And it's one of, he calls it a stalled launch. And what he means by that is there's this great moment where you've built the website, you've built the plugin, you've built the theme, or the block, whatever it may be. You spent absolutely ages doing it. You get it out there. You go on all the podcasts, the blog posts get written, and it sells for a bit. And then it basically just stops. You know, it just doesn't carry on. That momentum doesn't carry on. Everybody gets excited by the latest new thing and so on. And so in this piece, he's trying to figure out how to do that. And he's come up with this interesting way, which I know that lots of people have explored before, of partnerships, launching the product, not just by yourself, but with many, many other partners, people whose product can fit in with yours or bolt on to yours or whatever it may be. And so, Dave, I'm just going to ask you, as the product owner amongst us, have you ever had this sort of like, it's going to be a great success, and then, okay, it was for a bit, and then it went dead quiet?
Very much. So I've not had a chance to read this through yet, but I will this afternoon. But yeah, for my sort of admin toolkit on there, I kind of got like some initial sales through a Facebook group mentioned on that side, and so like in the tens number on that side, so still sort of low, but when you've gone from nothing, it's like, oh, I've actually done something. Then you kind of get a few other sort of deals and bits around the place. And then it's a case like, right, some people have installed it, someone haven't. And then it's a case of, right, how to then kind of market it and get more people aware of these things. So yes, it's very much like a common problem around there. That's kind of, if you launch it, they will come. But then they just disappear again. And what happens longer term on there? So people say like, oh, do you SEO for long-term strategy? But like, if you're trying to make something that people don't necessarily know that they need and could benefit from, it's the case of how to reach and educate them sort of through. So, yeah, that's the problem is endless as time.
But also, it's just like you've got, you know, if you're doing the plugin coding, you probably really don't want to be spending a lot of time doing the SEO piece, which will be never ending. There'll just be no end in sight to that. you know, you want to get excited about the code and what have you. And I honestly, in the WordPress space, having interviewed many, many people over many, many years, this story is so familiar to me. And so it was kind of nice seeing Alex kind of write it up and figure, actually, let's spread the problem out a bit. Let's get other people to help me. And I can definitely point to a few examples in the WordPress space where you just join forces with people. They don't need to be massively successful already, but maybe together you can sort of share out the burden of doing the SEO, writing the pieces which combine. I'll tell you which company is brilliant at this, and that's MainWP. MainWP have got a fantastic product. It's like an updater plugin for WordPress, and it does so much more. You install it on a WordPress site, and then you can bind your other sites to it, and it will update the things, and it just does absolutely loads. You can go and check it out. But because it does absolutely loads, they can find loads of partners that they can partner with, and then they can do press releases, they can keep it fresh, they can go to other new audiences that didn't exist for them before. But yeah, so good luck. Good luck, Alex. I hope it goes well. Wendy, anything? John, anything on that?
Yeah, actually, we are looking for something like this for WordCamp Europe.
A partnership sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So presumably not as a product, you're more after like media people, or what is it you're after?
So the thing we are looking for is people who are not active in the WordPress community yet, but do have a WordPress website. So we would really, really like to have some new people come to the WordCamp, because at WordCamps, let's be fair, it's very often people we already know and people we love, and we love seeing those people. But WordCamps could use some new, fresh people coming to the WordCamp. The thing is, how do we reach them and how do we let them know that the WordCamp is happening? So we talked with people from the marketing team for WordPress.org. And they said, well, find influencers who are not in the WordPress ecosystem.
Oh, interesting.
And we talked about that in the team and realized we don't know any. We only know WordPress influencers.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where we are now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Where would you even land? Like, what kind of people would you be looking for? So would it be like tech related, I don't know, podcasters or tech journalists? Or would it be kind of like leaning into the people who are creating events? There's probably a whole industry of people creating events that would be kind of, you know, that'd be an interesting bunch to talk to.
Well, it would be interesting to come to a WordCamp. I mean, I think it would be people that at least have a website or use a website or so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you would. Yeah, I think that's a really difficult nut to crack, isn't it?
Well, maybe travel bloggers or artists or people who are also, who would also be interested in gaining visibility with the crew that we're from.
Yeah.
Well,
so you're not trying to draw up new speakers or anything like that. This is just about attracting a different new audience of people that will show up to the event and be in the crowd. And Okay. Yeah, that's it. I think one of the things that I often notice when I go to the big flagship WordPress events is how old the audience is, how it skews towards older rather than younger. You know, you look around, there's quite a handful of people who are, I don't know, let's say 45 plus. But if you were to look for anybody below 20, there's not many, really. You know, in the era of TikTok and all of those fabulous things that you can do on...
TikTok people.
There you are. That's it. You've done it. If you can get through to the TikTok people. And the curious thing is, if you could get through to like one TikTok, just one person who's got like this huge reputation on something like TikTok, it's transformational. You know, it'll be seen by millions of people, but it's trying to get those people to spend time talking about a WordPress event. So comments, so I'm opening it up to the chat. If you've got any ideas that Wendy can take out of this, just keep dropping them in.
We did do a cut from the previous podcast I was on with you. Mm-hmm. So we cut out the little piece where I say, segue, promoting WordCamp Europe.
Oh, did we? Did that get cut out?
Yeah, and that got shared on Instagram and on TikTok.
Oh, that way it got cut out. It didn't get
nothing,
cut
out. By the way, but oh well.
It's worth a try. What about this one then? So Daveden has made a suggestion. He says, sounds interesting. You could target graphic design influencers. Come up with a poster to advertise the event. You got the great city. You got the great venue. You got the, I mean,
we got
honestly,
this great example of two guys driving.
Yeah, two guys flying sausages, cheese, you know. That's all you, so, honestly, all you need is AI. You just need AI to make some stupid flying sausage thing and you're off to the races. That is a good idea, though. I like that. Graphic designers. That's a cool idea, isn't it? Because there's tons of stuff in that in the conference itself that would be about that. But having a competition for a poster, for example, I don't know. Peacher is joining us. She says, hello. Yeah. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
And Michelle Frechette's joining us. She's saying hello as well. So, dear commenters, if you're watching this and, and you've got any ideas, so what Wendy's trying to achieve is she's trying to get more people to come to WordCamp Europe and innovative ways that she can market the event that aren't the normal traditional ways. John, Dave, have you got any ideas for Wendy? I'm dried up.
Not off the top of my head. It is a matter of finding the younger audiences and figuring out how to attract them into it, because your younger audiences are not using websites as much as they are apps and TikTok and even my boys who are starting to get in towards their 20s and they're big in their video games, but they're not using websites yet. Like even when I was big into video games, I'd build a website for the game.
I just don't even know if the younger people want that kind of online presence that we craved an online website, like a website, or if it was just that's what landed. That was the first thing to land was websites. If somebody had come up with, if the first thing that had gone online was TikTok, would anybody have wanted to build a website? You know, if YouTube had come before websites, would anybody care about websites? It's kind of interesting.
That's a good question. Yeah, I never thought about that one.
Because my kids, I keep constantly trying to bang on the drum of, you've got to own your content. You've got to own your content. Mm-hmm. Even if you put the stuff on YouTube, write the thing on your website, then post the video on, you know, embed it into your website, because then at least it's encapsulated. And if it goes away on YouTube or they kill your account, at least you've got something.
Yeah.
They just don't care. The ephemeral nature of it is part of the deal. That's the DNA of the internet to them. It's just like, I don't care. I'll do something else tomorrow.
It's my homework from school.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So there you go. TikTok is the norm, says Dave. Exactly. There's Dave Dunn, I should say, not Dave. Well, there you go. I think we've answered your question, Wendy. You need to find TikTokers.
Right. Or start my own channel real quick.
Yeah, start your own channel really quick. Yeah. And it seems like to be successful on TikTok, you've just got to do something either like massively offensive or really dangerous.
Put videos up on
the person I am. I prefer doing either an offensive or a very dangerous thing.
I don't know. My videos of my dog are getting lots of hits on my TikTok channel. Yeah.
Really? Tell us more. You've got a dog channel.
I have two.
Well, not a dog channel. Just I'm every once in a while I remember, I've got TikTok. And I've got this cool video of my dog running into the water, playing with sticks, growling on the ground. You know, I throw them on TikTok. They get more audience than when I throw them up on my Twitter channel.
Honestly, it's infuriating, isn't it? There was a guy, and Dave will remember this. There's a guy in the UK who, during lockdown, he was a BBC sports commentator. He's a fairly famous Scottish. He's got a very famous voice because he's obviously doing, you know, football commentary and things like that. He did a few YouTube videos of his dogs. Everybody was stuck at home, and he's got these two dogs. And I can't remember their names. I think one was called Mabel and one was called... They just went absolutely viral because he did commentary like it was a football match of his dogs doing ordinary things, you know, like, okay, so she's picking up the ball. She's going to pass it anytime now. She's going to pass it. And there we go. Oh, tremendous move. And all the dog had done is just like move the ball a couple of inches. But it just went absolutely nuts. It spawned a book series and everything. So anyway, there you go.
It's Mabel and Olive.
Mabel and Olive. Did you remember it? Or have I just told you? Mabel. And Olive. I adore them, says Peacher. There you go.
Sorry, it was really nice talking to you. I now need to go. I need to find dog videos.
You do. There's a couple of ideas, though. Here we go. Getting younger folks to WordCamps might be the best way into WordPress. Convincing them to vacation in Switzerland is much easier than to get them to build a site. We've been going about it backwards. So that's an interesting one. Like, labor the amazing venue and the amazing location rather than the software. Like, you have a nice time in Switzerland, and whilst you're at it, come to
see some old folk.
Yeah, that's right. Come and see some old I like it.
Well, that should do it.
Journaling your progress has also been growing. Journaling for mental health. That's not something you can do quickly on TikTok. Okay, so journaling. So
journaling. Back to the days of blogging.
So
only they've given it a new name.
So James, do you mean by that maybe Wendy should start like just a little TikTok each day or something like that, outlining something that has happened, you know, the good, the bad, the terrible, the hair pulling, the brilliant of organizing the event, the bit of the event that she's organizing? That honestly, I would find that quite compelling, Wendy.
I thought about that. Doing that last year when I was one of the lead organizers. But I felt there should be consensus about that all of us, and there wasn't. So,
okay. Darn it. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a committee that you've got to drive that through a little bit. So,
It's not a committee, but we were with three lead organizers. And if I was going do a video every day or every week about what is going on, it will give away some of the things that we are want to have public. I am very much for transparency. I think that more people, especially people coming or people not coming, doesn't matter, need to realize that WordCamp Europe is organized by volunteers and they do a lot of work and nobody is seeing it because we spend like the whole year working on organizing the event.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, the food was not that good this year.
that must be so soul destroying. You know, you've got your heart and
all the complaints.
That's right. And all that people can remember is, well, the samosas weren't all that great, you know.
Weather could have been better.
Yeah, the weather. I mean, what the heck? Yeah. There you go. That's quite a funny thing to do your TikTok about. Like the complaints, you know, this is what we did. We busted a gut and then we got this. But in a lighthearted way. You know,
we organized a WordCamp. What have you done this week?
That's right.
Exactly. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. Why we get to wear a halo this week and you do not. So I think there's some interesting ideas in there. So we're expecting by this time next week, Wendy, that you've got a million followers on TikTok and you've done something brilliant and WordCamp Europe will be just massive.
The pressure.
So all of this started because we were talking about Alex Standiford and his relaunch with partners of his plugin, which is called Siren Affiliates. So that was quite. Let's move on. But I didn't really have anything to. Sorry, go on.
You hit your bandwidth limit, Nathan.
Yeah.
You glitched out. It's all good.
Good. I really don't have a lot of confidence in this platform. So I described it to you as I think we're hanging by a thread. Mm-hmm. And that thread was bought from a shop called Cheap and Dodgy Threads. So we'll just see how we go. Well, I'm back. So this one, the next piece up for discussion today is from Ray again. It's the repository, and it's a recap of PressConf. We didn't really talk about it last week because essentially the nature of that conference was that it was like quite secret. Obviously it happened. That wasn't secret. That was public, and everybody knew that lots of people were going and all that. But they took a different approach, that there were no cameras recording any of the sessions. There was no mics to record anything. And so the people that were attending it weren't really writing, okay, I did this and I spoke to these people and we did this and we did that. So it was much more of a muted event. But in this piece, Ray pulls it apart and sort of explains why she liked it. And I think she really, really liked it. She's sort of almost like evangelical about how much she liked it, you know, bringing back what the community wanted. She's got different headlines. She's very, very enthusiastic about Raquel, who organized it, and how wonderful.
But to be fair, Raquel is amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, even with Raquel being amazing, it sounds like this was on another level of amazing. It sounds like Raquel went like 10x on it all. And also Raquel, I think, was fairly human in the way that she approached that. You know, she was talking about the fact that it kind of brought us to tears. It was the best thing that had ever happened. But also at the same time, it was, you know, tough and all of those kind of things. But the bottom line, I think, is that It was just a brilliant event. It was an event which, because it was small, 144 people showed up. There was a lot of conversation. There was a lot of opportunity to bump into people more than once, whereas a bigger event, maybe you'll hit somebody one time. Somebody one time. There's a TikTok there. you sort of collide, that's the wrong word as well. You bump into somebody, that's the wrong word as well. You meet somebody once only, and then you move on and you spend the rest of the time, you know, meeting other new people. At this event, you were definitely meeting people over and over and over again. Curiously, there was a bit in here where she says that Mary Hubbard, who was there on behalf of Automattic, she's the executive director of the WordPress project. At one point, when she was up on the stage, there was so much concern about her personal safety, given the fact that she has received some fairly challenging, I think they even say death threats.
Yeah.
She had a bodyguard with her.
Yeah.
And the response that some of the things got during the session was such that the bodyguard apparently made their presence felt, like got up and kind of made it aware to everybody in the audience that, you know, I'm the bodyguard. You're going to have to deal with me if you want to get to Mary. And I thought that was curious. You know, interesting that there was just a different flavor to the kind of Q&A. It obviously, you know, it was passionate and all of those kind of things. But the bottom line was, what a fabulous event. I'm guessing that it'll be run again next year. But I don't know.
I now really want to go.
Yeah. I think everybody really wants to go.
I already wanted to go, but yeah. It was, you know, super far and, really no business reason to go.
Me neither. So it wasn't something that was on my radar. And also, as you can see, if you're looking at the screen, apparently Miriam Schwab is a badass. That's what it says on the screen. I did an episode of The Nice Show with Mark Westgaard not that long ago, and I pointed out just how fabulous Miriam Schwab was on that as well. So definitely worth reading. If you go to WordPress events in your location and you think you try something a bit different, then it looks like PressConf was that. Hey, there you go, Wendy. Talk to Raquel. Get Raquel on the line and see what she did differently, and you know, make a TikTok about it. It's all about the TikToks.
Yeah, I want to point out one thing that Birgit is saying in the comments about the fact that Mary needs a bodyguard is quite distressing.
It's madness, right? Total madness.
It's insane. People not being happy that they're not able to do a Q&A. Okay, I can understand that. You want to do a Q&A, but also sending death threats to someone because they're doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just point out that the old platform that I normally use scrolls the comments into view so I can see when there's new comments. This platform doesn't do it. And so I apologize. I've been missing all the comments that have been coming in the last minute or two. And sorry, I didn't even know they were there. So if you've said something, hopefully the other people on the, who are watching it live have been able to share the things. So where was that one? Who was that? Birgit, really? Yeah, there you go. Birgit, right at the end there. Really sad to be a part of a community where Mary needs a bodyguard. I guess the sort of, how to say it, the seesaw, the other side of the seesaw there is there. Thankfully, there's not many in the community that seem to behave like that. My experience in the WordPress community has been just stellar 100% of the time. So whoever that was, I hope they have a long, hard think about it. It was a privilege to speak there, says Tammy.
Yeah.
She was there. Michelle Frechette was there. She said, I loved PressConf.
Yeah, rub it in.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. See, Wendy, your natural kind of, the way that you're doing, I'm already engaging with you, like, yeah, rub it in. There's a great TikTok video there. You could read through this article about how great PressConf is. And do that.
Yeah, even Ray was there. I mean, if you ever have a chance, for all people listening, if you ever have a chance to interact with Ray from the respiratory, is that how I
repository, pronounce? Yeah.
Well, repository. Do it. She is amazing.
I shall do that in 3 days' time. I'm having a chat. We have a 3-monthly podcast together, and it's coming around this actually, yeah, Thursday. So I shall
if
be doing.
If our eyes were a thing in the physical world, Ray would definitely bring up mine.
If what?
Hard eyes, you know, the
race. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. It was an excellent conference, says Zach. Ray is amazing, says Cameron. And there we go. At that point, we can move on. So PressConf basically gets the thumbs up, I think, from everybody. Dave, John, anything to add before we...
I just need to bring it to Europe so everyone else can get there easier.
Oh, then Wendy can have an actual, falling out with them.
The only thing
go on, John.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about watching them hearing about PressConf is it reminded me of the early days of WordCamps that I attended. Reminded me of is how the early WordCamps were, because we had 2 or 3 of them here in Victoria that I spoke at and helped organize back in the early days. So
I also remember being young at a WordCamp. I mean,
you see, you've got all the things. That's just brilliant. You could just record stuff like that, Wendy. Have courage and go for it. I will be your most avid follower. So there you go, PressConf. It's a bit of a win. And if it does come to you, I bet she's planning it in Europe. You've got to imagine the success that it's had over in the US. You've got to imagine there's some moves. Agree with Marcus. What did Marcus say? Let's go back. Right. Okay. So first of all, Cami, this is happening for many corporate execs in the US, not just WP. Luigi effect. I don't know what Luigi effect is, but
onboarding, I think.
Is that something to do with those two characters from the video game? What?
No.
Oh, look how old I am.
The guy who think shot the corporate guy from an insurance company.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was thinking of the video. What is that video? That's it. I'm so aging myself. The video game.
People don't call
them video games, do they? Okay, so it wasn't that anyway. Yeah. And I'm laughing at a moment where I really shouldn't, but because you're absolutely right. Yeah, so it's happening all over the place. It's not just WordPress. People seem to be very, very confident in their assertions and very confident to go around verbally beating people up. Tammy and Miriam, says Marcus Burnett, said their talks were worth the price of admission alone. Nice. That is nice to hear. 1,000. No, how much is that? That's 100,000% agrees with Marcus. And then there's that. I won't read it into the record, but you can see it on the screen. Yeah, gosh. There we go. All right. So moving on from PressConf, this probably won't matter to either of you. I don't know, or any of you. I don't know if it matters, but here we go. The Mercantile, which is the official WordPress swag shop, has had a bit of an update. I don't actually know what it used to look like, but this is what it looks like now. So it wasn't like this, and now it's like this. Do you buy any WordPress? Do you buy like WordPress?
No. Can I just go on a total rant?
Oh, go on. Yeah. Oh, wait. Hang on. You see? You're really good at this. You're so good at this. Off you go. Wind her up.
Yeah. So the thing is, their biggest size is 2XL, which doesn't fit. So they should extend the sizes because we are talking about accessibility, but being inclusive in your sizing is also accessibility, people. It's important when you create products you want people to buy, make it size inclusive.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I hear you. So this, I guess, does not have that. But you can buy, you know, hoodies, t-shirts, the usual affair. I don't see any caps. Let's go browse to the store. What can we get? Is any of this jumping off the peg for you, John, Dave?
No.
Any of this?
No, not really.
I'm just wondering, does it run on WordPress in WooCommerce or if it's something bespoke?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Let's click. I'm not going to click the buy now button, but yeah. Oh, little tiny children ones. They're kind of cute. And then I guess that's a one piece. What else have we got? Oh, here we go. So it's not all clothes. You can buy little, I don't know. I want to call it a Filofax, but it's a moleskin notebook. You can buy all these bits and pieces. Anyway, it's now been brought into line with all the other brand stuff. So you can find it at mercantile.wordpress.org, which wasn't really a thing that I knew about. Okay, back to Ray and the repository. We've already established how great Ray is. So this is the news that maybe this will sort of like put an end to an ongoing story that's been going on since August. Maybe this won't end it. I don't know. Several accounts were taken offline, banned. I don't really know what the right word is, but quite a few people in the WordPress community, prominent people, had their permissions revoked for things like WordPress.org and Slack. And in some cases, they were people who were doing, you know, who were really involved in the nuts and the bolts. In the article, I think Ryan McHugh, who lives in the UK, I think Ryan's Australian, but he lives in the UK now, who was a core committer. I don't know what the posture there is. His capacity to commit was taken away. A bunch of other people, famously Joost de Valk and a variety of others, their access was taken away. Well, now all of them are having their access restored to all the things. And essentially, they're going to go back through, are going back through since August, and they're trying to unpick and bring all these accounts back. So I don't know. Maybe this marks the end of something, or maybe it just for some, I don't know. What are your thoughts in the comments as well as on the show?
I was wondering, does it also mean that Joost is not a persona non grata anymore?
Well, that was a personal statement, wasn't it? I don't know if that was done in the spirit of WordPress.org. That was a comment that Matt Mullenweg made about Joost. And there was quite a lot that he said prior to that, wasn't there? He made, you know, he said a bunch of things about the relationship that they'd had. So I don't know, in all honesty, I'm not sure. But yeah, so does this then mean that that was a mistake, or that they've just sort of like rethought the policy? I don't know.
I think there was, I'm not really sure, but there was a something with the lawsuit that happened last week where it was also mentioned. So maybe it had something to do with that.
Oh, okay. So you've got some intel there that I didn't pick up on. So part of the ongoing lawsuit between Automattic and WP Engine, was there some, I'm not holding you for this to be true, but do you have a recollection that there was some aspect of these accounts that was brought up that might have been the catalyst for this reversal of the position?
Yeah, there was a conversation in post status, I think.
Okay.
About the guy who also filed the thing, William.
Oh yeah, there was. I don't remember that person's name.
Okay. So maybe, and it date wise, it kind of lines up if it has to do with showing, hey, we are doing what you asked us. See, we are unblocking everybody. So
yeah, okay. And it would appear that this is now the official position. I don't really know how long it's going to take to go back through and unpick all of that, but there we go.
I would love it to be them reconsidering and thinking, hey, this was just stupid. Let's fix it.
Nomad Skateboarding, thank you, says, that's not a legal document. That's what the plaintiff is asking the judge to rule. Honestly, I just so don't understand the law. So I'll take what you said as read. Wendy is talking about the latest document listed in Court Listener. Okay, thank you. Oh, there's some people watching this story closely, isn't there?
There's quite a few. I wonder if it's an interesting story.
Yeah, I wonder if they see this as like a good move, or, you know, whether it was something that was forced or what have you. For me, it draws a line under that, at least anyway. I'm just glad that these 32 people are now able to communicate with the people that they were able to communicate with. Whether or not they they have the same, you know, posture towards WordPress in the future will remain to be seen. But there you go, repository, WordPress leadership reinstates 32 banned WordPress.org accounts and launches formal review.
Yeah, I think Nomad has a good, Nomad Skateboarding, I don't know who it is, but he has a good point. People should stop sharing documents they don't understand. I agree. But also, if new documents come up, and it is being discussed. I don't know anything about it, but I am following closely. And I don't understand legal documents. So if someone could explain what I'm looking at, it's super helpful, because someone is sending me the stuff and then I don't know what to do with it. So I don't do anything with it. But in the post-status conversation, people explain what we are actually looking at. So
thank you. And then Cameron, you're still with us. Good grief, young man. It's time for you to, you know, really think about bedtime, I would say. But here we go. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Matt wants WP to draw, that stands for WP Engine. Matt wants WP Engine to drop the suit if that were to happen, or if they were to settle out of court. I imagine WP Engine would want people unbanned. And then he says, we might be getting closer to a resolution. Okay, so you think it augurs maybe something that's happening in the background to sort of smooth over this whole thing. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got clever people in our audience, because I honestly can't work this stuff out by myself. This article needs clever people, because look, it's got charts and maps. And as soon as I say, oh, Wendy's swooning. Oh, a pie chart is all it takes. This is lovely, actually. This is Jewel, Shahajan Jewel, who is from WP Manage Ninja. They do the Fluent product, so Fluent CRM, Fluent Forms, that kind of thing. And he has been going through, he did on the April the 20th, at least anyway, some of the intel, the data surrounding the latest release of WordPress, so 6.8. And I think some of it, in when you just write it out, it doesn't really mean a lot. But when you see it in a chart, not only do you swoon, but also it just makes it easier for my addled brain to get a hold of it. So here's the first one. Apologies for people who are listening to this on the podcast. I will do my best. It is a chart saying WordPress core contributors across recent releases. So it goes back from 5.0 right up to now, 6.8. And the remarkable thing is this one, 6.8, had more contributors, 924, than any other during that period, which with everything that's been going on, I find quite fascinating. I would have almost bet you that that would have been in decline. But I'm just going to rely on his chart. Anything on that one before we move on to the next exciting chart?
I'm just partly wondering whether if some of the funded or other core contributors have been doing less, so there's been more people doing smaller parts to bump the overall number up. That'd be my guess without looking into the numbers.
Okay, so the numbers might belie a little bit more inspection. So you're saying that because people who are, I don't know, they're full-time, like, just seconded to do it full-time, if they stepped away, maybe 10 people have filled in the void that one person. Okay, interesting. Okay.
That's a complete guess, but that's my only sort of thought on that side. If you saw other countries having more involvement, it may be they've got more people doing smaller chunks.
Yep. This one I would have predicted, and this is a real swing towards India in particular. So this is it's a map, and it's got coloured in sections, and basically the darker the blue, the more contributors are from that particular region. And really the only dark things on the map are the United States of America and India. So they appear to be the place where most contributors are coming from. Australia and Japan also notably dark. And given the population of Australia, that's quite an interesting statistic, you know, because what is it, 25 million or something in Australia, India, 1.4 billion or something like that, America, 400 million, Australia, maybe really punching above its weight. So let's just move on. Here we go. This explains it even better. So WP 6.8 percentage contributions by country. United States in the lead, but only just 13.9%, followed by 13.7% by India. So if this was like a 100-meter race, America won it by a nose. They just got over the line in like a millisecond before India did. Japan third. Interesting. Australia fourth. Blimey neck. Then Georgia. Okay, Georgia. That's fantastic. Italy is in next position. Then the United Kingdom, and I'll just read a few out. Spain, Bulgaria, Russia, France, Algeria, and then the slices of the pie get smaller and smaller. But that's fascinating for me, the Australia. Well, the pivot to India and Japan is kind of interesting. It definitely happening over there. That's more or less the same graph. Very similar. And then here we go. Thought this was kind of interesting. Companies that make this work happen. You know what's going to be the big one, automatic. Although, you know, what would happen if we redrew the graph now?
Yeah,
it'd be a different graph, I imagine, because automatic, along with many other companies, have really stripped things right back. But for this data, it stands. Automatic at nearly 40%, 37.9%. RT Camp, come on. RT Camp interviewed Rahul from RT Camp. What a guy. Fascinating. They just put their money where their mouth is. GoDaddy in third position, followed by Kinsta, then Yoast, 10Up.
Well, Yoast will be dropping as well because they've dropped a lot of contributors.
Yeah.
Ew.
So, okay, let me do that again. Automatic, RT Camp, GoDaddy, Kinsta, Yoast, 10Up. And then in a category all his own, Jonathan Desrosiers. He comes in at, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all by himself. That's so good. I think sponsored, I should say, by Bluehost, but I don't know quite how that whole thing works because Bluehost is the next.
That's amazing to be your own company and...
Yeah, doing it all. But also, he's working for Bluehost, and Bluehost is the next company down. So I don't know if like the two things get merged.
The contribution he's doing are not the counting as the ones that Bluehost is sponsoring. Yep. So he's basically sponsoring himself.
Yeah.
And doing stuff for Bluehost contributing. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? So that's that graph. And then where can we go here? There's sort of similar. Here we go. And then we've got individuals. This one is individual rankings. And honestly, some of these are nuts. Mama Duka, who works for GoDaddy, who is based in Georgia. So I think this individual sponsored by GoDaddy is the reason that Georgia was on that graph. They win. It's a competition. They win. 546 contributions. Somebody called Wildworks, who works for Kinsta, is not far behind, but there's definitely a gap. 461 contributions. Ty Axler, an automatician coming from Bulgaria. Now we see there's quite a big gap. 274. Sergey Biryakov, working at Bluehost, 260. And then you can see the line there. There's Jonathan, 189. So I don't quite know how the one graph leads into that one. If Jonathan is there, I don't know how that works. Anyway, the bottom line is thank you, all of you, whether you're from my part of the world or a different part of the world. That's quite a lot to take in, isn't it? But the takeaway for me is how Europe, it's WordPress is becoming a thing over sort of, you know, the India side of the world, the Australia side of the world, the Japan side of the world. It's definitely starting to have much more prominence there, I think, than it once did. Any thoughts on that?
No, it's great to see all that, though.
Oh, indeed. Right. How are we doing for time? We've got a little bit more time left, so let's crack on. Do you send emails? Any of you send emails out about your products or what have you?
I should do.
No. Okay. Yeah. This is the problem we described earlier, isn't it? You need to be sending emails out on a daily basis. This might interest you. I have a feeling that this is an automatic thing, but let me see if I can find it somewhere. I don't know. MailerPress. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's got nothing to do with automatic.
Automatic has a MailPoet.
Yeah, MailPoet. So it won't be an automatic thing, will it? I don't know that's why.
When I saw that and you said it might be automatic, I said, why would they do that when they have MailPoet? Because MailPoet is
right.
Such a nice add-on plugin. I use it myself. I interviewed a few years ago, I interviewed the original developer of it.
Maybe it's the way the site looks, the color palettes that they've gone for and the fonts and all of that kind of stuff makes me sort of lean towards that. Anyway, it's definitely worth mentioning. It doesn't exist yet, this product, but it's called MailerPress, and they're obviously trying to get people to fill out this form to join the waitlist. I'd encourage you to have a little look at this video. It's pretty short. It's like a minute. But basically, the idea is that you would build out your newsletter inside the block editor. And honestly, is it just me or is the block editor not the perfect formula for making something like a newsletter? I think no.
With MailPoet, when you build it out, you do have to use the block editor. The one time I used the block editor, but yeah, it works, but to me, it's not the best editor for it. So
I use a commercial rival called Newsletter Glue, which has just been bought actually. And they have a collection of blocks, which essentially mean that you make one post and then you say to the content of that block, go in the newsletter, go in the post, or go in both. So
he just puts on his running shoes and starts running towards the newsletter, or how does it work?
What's that?
It just builds up the newsletter with the different blocks?
So you write a post. Basically, you just write a post as you normally would. Uh-huh. But then you say, this block, put in the newsletter, but this one, don't. And this one, do. This image, put this in. So
it's per block?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you write the post just like you would write an ordinary post, but you have to use their blocks because they're configured to output HTML in two ways, to the post, but also so that it's, you know, compliant with the rubbish that an email client has to read, tables and all that. And then when you click publish, it will send it to your, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, whatever you want, and it'll show differently. So if you said make it the same, it'll be the same on your website as it is in the newsletter. If you just want to exclude this thing, it's really great. I don't know why we're all not using it.
And I really like this. It is also in the dashboard.
Yeah, that's what I like MailPoet, because it can automatically feed from your post wherever you want. And also because it works well in WooCommerce for checking out the emails hey, you left this in your shopping cart. Come on back and finish it. So
yeah, I don't think the Newsletter Glue solution does this. Anyway, this is a new one into the arena. It's called MailerPress, and it does seem to be a similar sort of arrangement. You can see it's got blocks here. I don't know. None of those look particularly like bespoke or anything. It does look like they're the sort of just the regular core blocks, but I don't really know what the setting are. But you can see, if you're watching this, you build your newsletter inside the block editor and then send it, and obviously it will then send it to I don't know if they've got an integration with something, but definitely worth checking out. MailerPress.com, certainly worth going to have a look. And Patricia brings another one, Fluent CRM with their SMTP plugin. That's another option as well. And I presume that you could do complicated kind of workflows with Fluent CRM, like, you know, if this, then that kind of add tags and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Newsletter Glue just doesn't do anything. Newsletter sounds like a Newsletter Glue imitation. Yeah, it does. The MailerPress, is that what you're talking about, Cameron? That was what I thought. But with Newsletter Glue being very expensive, for want of a better word, if you go and look at the pricing, you might know what I'm talking about. Maybe this is going to try and sort of undercut that. Wildworks is Aki Hamano. Okay, so he's one of the Japanese contributors, presumably, who's adding to the bottom line there.
I'm doing a bit of Googling. MailerPress is created by the folks behind SEO Press.
There you go. That's probably how I heard about them, because I use SEO Press probably am on their email list, and maybe they sent me an email from MailerPress. So there you go. Now we know. Anyway, go check it out, MailerPress.com. How much time have we got left? Not a lot. So let's crack on very, very quickly. If you're into educational materials in the WordPress space, WP Shout have got a course. It's on sale now. It's called Modern WordPress Fast Track. Learn to build high-value block themes and plugins with AI and automation in a 10-week focused course. I'll link to it in the show notes, but it is called Modern WordPress Fast Track. I was going to say more about that, but I won't. Which one shall I go to next? Okay, we'll step away from WordPress for a moment, and we'll go to this one first. Nobody's ever satisfied with their email, and Cloudflare have decided to step in to the game, and they're offering a service now called zero.email. What a cool domain that is. It is the numeral zero.email, and they're saying that they're going to use what could possibly go wrong. They're going to use AI to neaten up your inbox experience. So potentially writing replies for you, figuring out which things are important and what have you. Honestly, though, I am on Team Cloudflare. So if somebody else had come across and said, we're going to just AI the wazoo out of your email, I would have been like, I don't know. But it's all to do with Cloudflare workers. I am definitely going to give it a spin. My email inbox is a mess. No matter how much I try, I can't wrangle it into shape. So I don't know if anybody...
Your inbox, or does it also create your emails and send them without asking for?
Well, so I would imagine it's not there yet. But all I did to get it going was I clicked the authorization. So I use Google's products for email. And I just clicked the one button, you know, log in with Gmail. And I got this different interface for my Gmail account, and it kind of tagged things differently, and it made decisions. I haven't really explored it all that much, but it was definitely doing things which Gmail doesn't do, and it was doing without me asking it to do anything. So obviously, you know, now Cloudflare knows every single thing that I've ever received in an email. I don't know if that's good or not. But it says it's an innovative email client that leverages AI to simplify email management. It offers users a seamless and efficient way to handle their inbox. It's designed to work smarter, not harder, ensuring that you spend less time on the email and more on what matters most. Don't they all promise?
What matters more than email?
That's right. That's exactly right. But it's using Cloudflare workers to make it all happen. So anyway, you can go to literally the numeral zero dot email and sign up. And you too can be having AI in your email. There'll be nothing left for us to do soon.
We are just going to sit behind our computers and watch TikTok movies from WordCamp goers because...
No, we'll spend the rest of our time on planet Earth cleaning up the slop that AI gives us. That's what's going to happen. I don't know. Anyway, go check it out. That's kind of interesting. What else have we got just before we finish? Let's go with this one. More AI.
Final. Oh, more AI.
Well, less AI, actually.
Less AI.
Less AI, but we're talking about it more. So this is the surprising conclusion. Who would have thought Kinsta have actually got the numbers, and it says AI has taken over customer service, but customers want humans back. You're kidding. I thought the AI chatbots were all really good at getting what I wanted really quickly. I mean, they're just so great. This is a study of just over 1,000 US consumers, so it's very America-centric. And the bottom line is basically, can we stop with all that silliness and can we just have a human at the end of the line? 93.4% say that they prefer interacting with a human over AI. That is just such a damning statistic. 94%. You know, it's like, okay.
76% who say, hey, I like AI better. Who are those people?
No, that was the 6% was an AI that managed to find the form and was trying to fill it out.
When you're an edge case, you know, which seems to me every time I contact support, I'm an edge case and the AI can't help me and I actually got to get to a human who can make a decision.
When you get to a chatbot, do you know?
Chatbot. Sorry. Get me a human.
Yeah, that's all I do. As soon as I figure out it's a chatbot, I just try to get the chatbot to give me the option to get to a human straight away. And actually, I use an email service to send out my emails. And the first thing the bot prompt, and I think this is really smart of them, it says, I'm an AI. If you don't want to use me, type live agent now. And so that's what I do. But I think that's quite nice because obviously if it was something that I could get from their docs or something and I just wanted an AI to take on that task, that's fine. But the first option is basically we'll get the AI out of your way and then they hand it straight over to a human who takes on the task. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of good. What else have we got? 71% encountered situations where AI struggled with complicated issues. No kidding, Sherlock. 78.3% said humans resolve customer service problems faster. 84% said humans are more accurate. 80% believed AI used primarily to save money and not improve service. 88% think companies should always offer a human to speak with as an option. 62% don't believe that AI could ever replace humans in customer service. The list goes on. You get the point.
To be fair, what I do like about it, it's a national bank holiday today in the Netherlands, so everything is basically closed. And I had some things to take care of. I do like that I am able to have a conversation with AI and file a complaint without me just generally having send an email or... I mean, the availability has gone up. I do like that. I know I can send just a regular email that's the same thing, but in that case, my preference was to do it through the AI chatbot.
Yeah, well, there you go. You're in the 6%. Look, you can shoot a whole TikTok about that. Somebody from LinkedIn, we don't know who you are, but hello, saying, are the 94% willing to pay more for a real person to talk? Well, I would argue, are the companies who are going to lose 94% of their business willing to stay in business? You know, because if everybody just gets unbelievably frustrated. I was saying just before we began this chat that in the UK, a lot of this is now under review. A lot of the companies who've implemented a lot of these AI solutions are now really questioning whether or not it will be something that they want to pursue. The cost of business, obviously, is cheaper deploying AI because you don't have to pay them pensions and they work 24 hours and all of that. But it's whether or not on the other end, you know, people are willing to put up with that kind of stuff. Cameron says he's too technical.
Yeah, I'm with Cameron on that one. By the time I contact support, I need a human to sort out my problem.
Yeah. So Andrew Palmer is the person coming in. Yeah. I don't know. I know what you're saying, Andrew, but is it in the best interests of humanity for 94% of us to be annoyed all the time when we're trying to getting technical support, or would it be better if the companies just sort of said, okay, you know what, that is the cost of business, let's just swallow that and have it. Do you know what's incredible is that this platform got us through the full 90 minutes. I applaud you, platform. there's no way that should have worked. It's by it's a company called Streamlabs. who, you know, they're fairly big in the streaming space, but I've never used their stuff before, but they got us through it. So that's it. That's all I've got time for. Thank you very much. If you were joining us from a different part of the globe and you gave us a comment, really appreciate it. That was a lot about accessibility that got you going, wasn't there? We fully expect Wendy to have launched a very successful YouTube channel by this time next week. Anything else is a mark of failure, I would say.
Thank you.
But no, not really. So the only last thing we got to do, the slightly humiliating hand waving that we do at the end of the episode so that I can turn it into some album art. So Dave, John, and Wendy, are you willing to give
us
your hands? Give us a smile. There we go. And I would say thank you to our commenters and also thank you to our three guests. That's to John Overall, to Wendy with the surname that I can't say, and Dave Gray, whose surname I can say. That's nice and straightforward, yeah. And now I get to press this button, which says end stream. I have no idea what it's going to do, whether it's going to kick you three out or whether the world will explode.
Let's find out.
See you next time on this. I won't be here next week because I'm at the Page Builder Summit, so I'm having a week off. Well, I'm not. I'm working really hard on that other thing, but we won't be here for this.
Enjoy. I'm looking forward to it so much.
Me too. I appreciate it. Right, I'm going to press the button and see what happens. Let's see.
Signing.
All right. End stream.